For all of you, we're glad that you're here today. And if this is your first Sunday, I think that the Lord has some pretty awesome stuff ahead for you today and in the days ahead. And I think that, honestly, like, I think you're in a great spot. In fact, I'm absolutely convinced you're in the best church in Orlando. I'm just absolutely convinced of that. Yep. It's a new year, and we have an opportunity to start brand new things. Like, for many people, 2019 was a tough year. And hey, you know what? You made it. Like, here you are. You made it. 2019 might have been difficult, but we think that God has some new stuff ahead for you. And last week, Pastor Tori was talking to us about stepping into the future and forming new habits and creating those in a way that they're consistent and that they're sustainable. And so last week, I love that he didn't tell us just to take on a bunch of New Year's resolutions, but pick one new habit or one habit needs to be improved and do that and do it consistently until it becomes a part of your life. And I think that's an awesome thing. He did a great job last week preaching. Give him a big hand if you don't mind. Hey, and I didn't have a chance to, I didn't say this in the first service, and I don't know where he got off to, but Colin, our regular drummer, is out today, and Justin, the youth director here at Christ Church, is playing drums, and so he did an awesome, awesome job. He keeps doing that, he'll end up doing that a lot, and so... very cool. There's also the middle school programming going on this morning, and he's doing a great job with them. We're glad that you're here, and we think God has something new for you, and we think maybe he has some new direction for your life. And so today, we're going to start on to a new message series about above and beyond, going above and beyond where we currently are. I heard recently a story about a man who said, I've been reading so many bad things about eating sugar and eating junk food and that it's bad for you. So I've made a firm decision that I'm going to stop reading. I love that story. You know, many of us, like, we have new ideas and new directives that we want to take on. We have goals that we're setting for the year. This is kind of a goal-setting time for many people. And here at Christ Church, for the last few months, we've been praying before we got to 2020 what the goals for our church would be. The staff has been praying for several months now, and we actually took a season of prayer and fasting. We've been praying literally every day. And I think that many of us, we've gotten to the place where just getting to 2019, it felt like we were in survival mode. You know, just like, if I could just survive this crisis. And yet the interesting thing about that is God doesn't want you just to be in survival mode. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to see that there's a bigger picture. And how we end up in survival mode is there's a crisis that takes place, and we get so focused on it that we fail to see that there's a bigger plan that God's working on. In fact, throughout the entire Bible, there's so many places where he allows us to see a small glimpse of what's taking place now. Maybe in the middle of difficulty, he allows us to see that there's something ahead. And then there are seasons when he lets us to see there's an end goal. There's a place that he's taking us. And this might even be a part of that place that he's taking us. And so for many of us, we've gotten so bogged down, maybe in 2019 or in life, that We got to the place where maybe it was just even discouraging that, you know, we just got the dishwasher fixed last week and the washer went out this week. We just got the car fixed and like, how can I look towards the future when I'm just so captivated by the moment? And yet God challenges us that we lift up our eyes and look and remember he's doing something above and beyond this moment. That there's a bigger thing that he's doing. He wants us to have a greater picture of our lives. He wants us to have a greater picture for our future. He wants us to get a greater vision for where he's taking us. There's a scripture in the Bible, and I think it's essential for us to talk about as we're starting into a new year. The book of Proverbs says, where there is no vision, The people perish. The King James Version says people perish. The NIV says people cast off restraint. And what that means is that in the middle of a circumstance, in the middle of difficulty, if you don't know that this is actually taking you somewhere, or this is a part of a plan that might be leading you to a greater thing in your life, then what happens is people feel hopeless and discouraged and they cast off restraint. Well, if nothing means anything, then I'll just live any way I want to, and it becomes reckless. They cast off restraint. The King James then says, you perish. So you have to get a vision. You have to have an idea that there's some place that God is taking you to. And so in counseling, for me, many times, I try to get people to redream the dream of their life. I've dealt with a lot of people who've been in addiction. And one of the things that I've found out for many people in addiction is they stop dreaming. They just stop looking into the future. They think that this is where it's going to be. And if honestly, if they get $5, that $5 will be gone in 5 minutes because this is all that there is. And so my hope for all of us, not just for them, for all of us, is that we'll begin to dream again, that we'll begin to have hope for our future. So often when I'm doing counseling, I ask the question, what's the dream for your future? Like, what dream do you have for your future? And I'm convinced that God puts dreams down inside of us, that he puts hopes down inside of us, that there's something, some direction, and it leads us. And many times we're discontent or we're frustrated simply because we know that this isn't the fulfillment of that, that there's still something yet that he wants to take us to. And many times the distress that we feel and maybe the anxiety that we feel is for us to simply say, this isn't it yet. There's still somewhere we're going. And so I try to get people to dream again. And often what I say, and in case you don't know this, I was an art teacher. And so I try to get people to think about the art aspect of it. And that is, if I were to give you an imaginary canvas, and some of you have heard me say this, some of you have sat in the room and heard me say it. And if I were to give you an imaginary canvas, then what would this look like? Paint a picture of your life. And I've often said that, like, everybody has a different vision. Everybody has a different picture of what they want their life to look like. We were talking between services. Everybody in the band and the vocalist on the side, they were absolutely assured that God does not have a vision for them to live in a tiny house. You know, like those people that are on tiny house shows, honestly, like seriously, they scare me just a little bit. Like those are really cute. But I saw a guy, I was telling them that I saw a guy in California that moved a family with four kids out of a 3,500 square foot house into a 400 square foot tiny house. I'm like, somebody's name is going to end up in the paper in a bad way off of this show, you know? And so, that was his dream, his vision. When it came time for me to build a house or buy a house, I knew I didn't want to live in a high rise. I knew I didn't want to live in a camper or a tiny house, not even in a condo, because I have a dog. I want to be able to open the back door and let my dog go out into the yard. I didn't want to walk him around Lake Eola, you know? So the dream for me was I need a house with a yard, and that yard has to have a fence, you know? And so... So I ask people when they're dreaming about the dream of their life, what does that look like? And really one of the most classic places that ever took place was, it was so clear, there was a family that brought their daughter to me. She was 16 years old and she had started to date a young man that was not good for her. He was a drug dealer and he was just living a pretty reckless life. And now she was leaving the house, crawling out her bedroom window during the night to go out there and be with him. And they were afraid that he's going to lead her down a path that she's not going to be able to get back from. And so they brought her in to talk to me. And so I asked her to start to paint the picture of her life. And so I'm like, so what kind of house are we going to paint on this imaginary canvas? And I said, you know, is it going to be a tiny house or, you know, a tent? For those of you who want to live in tents, God bless you. You know, like that's definitely not for me. But so what does that look like? And so she started to tell me that I want to live in a big house. I want a wood frame house, a two-story wood frame house. I want pillars out front. So that's a colonial house. And I'm like, very good, very good. So will there be toys in the yard from kids? Oh, yeah, for sure. How many kids are you going to have? And she said, I want to have three kids. I want to have a boy and I want to have a girl and maybe one to spare. And, you know, and then... So that means you're going to have probably 3 or 4 bedrooms in the house. So it's going to have to be a pretty good sized house. And she, yep. Okay. How about a garage? Are you 1-car garage, 2-car garage, 3-car garage? And she said, no. I'm like, how many cars are you going to have? And she said, well, 2 cars, 1 for me and 1 for my husband. And I'm like, okay, before you start to paint that garage and those cars in the driveway, let me just tell you, there's going to be 3 cars in the driveway. There's going to be your car, there's going to be your husband's car, and there's going to be a police car who's going to be there to arrest your husband because he's a drug dealer. And many times what happens is we make decisions in our life and our decisions are not leading us to the goal and the plan and the vision that we have. Like there's a thing down inside of us, I think that God's planted down inside of you of what your life can look like above and beyond where you currently are that he wants to take you to. So what is the dream? What's the dream that God has for you? See, I believe that God has a dream for your life. It's not just one that's been imposed on you by your parents or by society, but God has a dream. And I want you to begin to dream the God dream for your life. Many times we fail to see it because of what's taking place around us. There's a story in 2 Kings, the 16th chapter, and there's a servant who is traveling with Elisha. And they find themselves surrounded by an army. And as they're surrounded by this army, Elisha goes to sleep and the servant is panicked. And during the night, he wakes up and he looks out and he sees the army that's encamped around about them. And there's only 2 of them, so there's no way that they can win some kind of a battle with an army around about them. And he wakes up Elisha and he says, like, why are you not completely petrified about this? Why are you not afraid? And Elisha says that, like, because you can't see what God's doing. You can't see what's really taking place. And here's what happens in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter and the 17th verse. Here's what he says. Elisha prays this prayer. Open his eyes, the eyes of the servant. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And that's my prayer for you. Open your eyes, Lord, open our eyes so that we could see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That there was something spiritual that was taking place around Elisha that you could not see with your physical eyes. The servant couldn't see, but it was taking place just the same. God had an encampment around about him. And let me just tell you, in your life, it's the very same way. God's working on something in the spirit. He's working on something in the supernatural that you just haven't seen yet. In fact, it always happens in the spirit realm before it happens in the world. Before you can see it with your eyes, God's already up to something. And so today, I'm hoping that you will trust God. Open your eyes and see that God has something far and above where you are today. Amen. And I think it's not just for you, but I think it's also for our church. I think it's collectively for you. It's collectively for our church. It's for your family. It's for your finances. It's for your marriage, but it's also for each and every one of us. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, and I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture that I think is just, it speaks to this, and it's really the context of where we're going to talk from for the next few moments. Let me give a little bit of background to this. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's writing from prison. Many people think this is his first letter that he writes, and he's writing in prison, and he's talking to a church of people that he's mentoring. And there's a parallel in this, the New Testament to the Old Testament. Ephesians is the parallel to the story of Joshua. Ephesians is the story of people who have come out of bondage, and now they're about to take hold of their new life. In the story of Joshua, Moses is dead, and now there's a new generation that's about to step into the promised land. And there's still some territory that they have to take. The promise is before them. The past is the past, and the promise is before them. And they can't even see yet what God has for them. And now here we see the very same thing to the church in Ephesus, and it's your life and my life, that God has something for us to step into, a promised land that he has for us. And so here Paul begins to write, and I'm going to read quickly down through a pretty lengthy passage. Imagine it's church, we read the Bible. Here we go. In Ephesus, the third chapter, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. There's been something that's been shaking. There's been something that's been happening in the spirit world up to this point that no one has seen, and now it's being revealed. Verse number 6, he says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. And so he's saying there's been something that's been in the works for a while. It's not just for the Jewish people, it's for the whole world. And I have to tell you, that's good news for us. Like, that's good news for us because not everybody here is Jewish. I did one of those DNA tests a little while back and found out I'm 2% Jewish. So it would have been for me just the same. But I'm glad y'all are included now. You know? So here's what he's saying, like, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, shares together in the promise of Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. I love that the context is, I'm in prison, and I'm talking about what God's up to. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach the Gentiles and the boundless riches of Christ. He's saying, like, I have some deficits. There are some things that somebody could bring some accusation. I made some bad mistakes in my life. I was a persecutor of the church. And when it comes to people lining up of who should have been given the opportunity, I should not have been given the opportunity to be an heir of the promise of God. And yet he saw in his grace to allow me to have an inheritance in Christ. And so listen, today, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the accusation that the enemy would love to rail against you. God still has an inheritance. He still has a promise. He still has a dream and a hope for your future. And it's above and beyond what you're thinking. And so he says he's an heir of the promise, and to make plain to everyone, I'm in verse number 9, to everyone, the administration of this mystery for which ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Just because no one saw it didn't mean it didn't exist. It just hadn't been revealed yet. And his intent was that now through the church, would somebody just say with me, through the church? His intent that through the church, that this would be made known. The manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Like, God chose imperfect people. God chose people that have history. God chose people that were not necessarily the most educated. He was setting up people to do something to change the world that no one else would have picked. And here he says that through the church, and do you know what that means, honestly? That means not just for the church at Ephesus, that's you. You and I have sitting on our head the promise that the world can be changed, that the manifold wisdom of God is made known to this earth through you, through me. Honestly, like, if you think about that, the call on your life, the call on our church, the call on the church in general is way and above what we think. Like, we think the church is so messed up. And I have to tell you, there are messed up people in the church. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And somebody like I don't want to be a part of organized religion. And I get that. Honestly, I just want to say, welcome to Christ Church. You're gonna find this to be a great place because we're barely organized. And so, yeah. So here's the thing about that is though, it's not so much about the structure, and we think that systems are necessary. But let me just tell you that through us, by our lives being submitted to Christ, being filled with his glorious call, that ultimately in that it brings glory to the world and it brings wisdom to this world. And in this verse, it also says that it's made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly realms. There are powers of darkness, honestly, that are around us working. In case you haven't caught on to that, There's things that are happening that are not good. And yet he's saying, there's wisdom in my people because they're connected to my dream for their lives. Do you understand this? Like, we're the hope of the world. Christ Jesus in us, working in us, we're the hope of the world. And reading on verse number 11, according to his eternal promise that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I love that. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. He's like, don't be discouraged about me being in persecution. Don't be discouraged about my circumstance. Don't be discouraged what you see going on around you. Don't be discouraged by the government. Don't be discouraged by society. Don't be discouraged by the circumstances that you see that are in the headlines. Don't be discouraged by those things, because those are only the things that you can see. You can't see what God's up to, and he's up to something far and above what you can see. Get your eyes open to see what God is up to. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. What he's talking about there is this, man, I know you came from a family and there's a family name connected to that. And some of us have great families and some of us don't have great families. Some of us have family names that nobody wants to mention. Some of us have names that are attached to us, that were given to us by our father, and some of them were names that were given in a negative moment. Some of them are just branded names into our life. Some of you, somebody said a name about you and you've carried that name with you, and that's what you see of yourself. And he says, once you come to me and you become a member of my family, that's not your name. That's not your identity anymore. Your identity is in me, and I'm giving you my name. You have a brand new name. You have the name of Jesus Christ on you, and now you carry the hope of glory inside of you. Step into what he has for your life. And then he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And now, so he's kind of finalizing, he's been exhorting them. Now he starts into a prayer. And I pray that you being rooted and established, that you being rooted and established, he wants us to be rooted, not floating, not driven by every emotion and every circumstance, up one minute, down the next minute, driven by what the headlines are, not us being driven by even what people have to say, but rooted and grounded and established. You know, an oak tree, when an oak tree, it sets its roots, those go deep. They're strong. So when the hurricanes come, those oak trees don't fall. And so let me just tell you, in your life and in my life, we have to be rooted and grounded and established. And I know somebody here just said, like, well, I've seen in the news where they did fall. My neighbors did fall. And you know why your neighbor's tree fell? Is because its roots didn't go deep enough into the soil. When your roots go deep into the soil, you're rooted and grounded and established. And I love this, in love. There are a lot of us, like, we came up in religion that was legalistic. He wants you to be established that he loves you. That he loves you, and he loves you so much that he has a future for you. Verse number 18, and I love this, that we may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of God, and to know that his love surpasses knowledge. Do you know what that means? Like, he says, I want you to figure this out. How wide is the love of God? I'll ask you today, how wide is the love of God? If you started walking today to the east and you walked all day long and you got as far as you could walk in one day, will you have reached the end of the love of God? No. If you turned around and walked in the other direction and walked as far as you could in 2 days, would you have reached the end of, when you look up, when you look down, you can never, ever get to the end of God's love. Some of you are convinced that, like, God's love ran out on you a long time ago. And let me just tell you, it's endless. It's new every morning. He's established you, and he wants you to be rooted and grounded in love, that you may know this love surpasses knowledge. I love that. Like, your mind can't even comprehend. Just settle yourself that he loves you. Like, we want to figure out God's love based on the love of somebody else or the way we love. He loves you in a way that is so unlimited, so extraordinary, far above and beyond what you think. And I love this, and I'll finish this out here, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He wants you filled with the fullness of God. He wants you walking in his power, walking in his spirit. He wants you to know that there's vision. He wants you to be established and rooted and grounded, and that you're walking in the fullness of God. And then he says in this, and this is his benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is where we're going to stay for just a few days here. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably above what you ask or think. What are you praying for in your life? What are you asking God for in your life? What are you asking God, and how big is the dream? How big is the vision? How big is that canvas that you have in your life? He says, to him be the glory, like it's his glory. He wants you to be a part of his glory. He wants you to dream. He wants you to have a vision that is bigger. Like, it's not just about getting your marriage reconciled. He wants your marriage to be restored. It's not just about getting your finances fixed. He wants you to prosper in your finances. It's not just about you feeling better today. He wants you to walk in healing. He wants you to know that it's above and beyond. Like, we're stuck on the detail today, and he wants us to lift up our eyes and know there's something bigger that he's working on. Get our eyes on that. It's above and beyond what we're asking and thinking. I'm going to give you a few thoughts here about vision for Christ Church of Orlando, because I think it's relevant, and I'm praying that you're going to see bigger vision with me. There are things that we need to talk about concerning vision. When it comes to God vision, there are four things you should consider. If you want to write these down, here's the first one is God's vision is always large. There's nothing small about God's vision. He's always doing something big. He's always doing something that is so big that you can't hardly comprehend what he's up to. If you don't need God, it's not God's vision. If you can figure the whole thing out, if you know the plan between here and there, it's probably not God's vision. It's a big vision. I'm praying that God will raise up dreamers here at Christ Church of Orlando that have big vision. Amen. Vision is always large. Here's the second thing. God's vision always requires us to have faith. If you can do it on your own, it's probably not the totality of God's vision for your life. If you can pull it off this afternoon, it's not the accomplishment of God's vision for your life. It's just a moment. There's still something bigger that he wants for your life. You're going to have to trust him and believe him for it. If your vision doesn't require faith, it's not from God. If your vision doesn't require you to put your trust in faith and rely on him, I have to tell you, there have been more than a few days in my life when I've gone like, God, if you don't come through, this doesn't work. God's vision for you is bigger than that moment. Here's the third thing. God's vision always brings glory to himself. The glory always goes to God. Most of us, what we want is we want God to bring comfort to us so we can be comfortable. We want us to be prosperous so that we can live in pleasure. God is not really worried about us being comfortable in our lives and just prospering so we can have more comfortable things. He wants our lives to bring glory to him in this earth so his name is known and his manifest glory is known to the people that don't know him yet. Here's the fourth thing. The vision that God has is for your life, it's a part of what he's doing in all the earth. It's part of what he's doing in all the earth. His vision isn't just about a moment or just about a place. There's a bigger thing that he's doing, and he wants you to be a part of his global vision. And that brings me to Christ Church of Orlando. There are some things that I've been praying about for our church, and as I told you, our staff has been praying. And we're launching this today as a message series, Above and Beyond, but this isn't just for today. We believe for the entire year of 2020 that God has called us to be 3:20, Ephesians 3:20, people, believing him to go above and beyond what we're asking and thinking. I'm believing God is going to do something in your home. I'm believing God's going to do something in your family, that he's going to do something in your finances. He's going to do something in your health, that he's going to do something with the call in your life, that the place where you're placed, that he's moving you to a place that's above and beyond what you're thinking. Whew. Man, like, let me just tell you, like, God's calling some people here at Christ Church of Orlando. I'm going to say this, and like, you guys know me well enough to know, like, there's people in this room that God's been calling into ministry for a long time. And like, you've been content to kind of be in a job. And listen, and a ministry isn't, are you ready? Ministry isn't a paycheck. Ministry is who you are. It's what you're doing. Doesn't matter where the paycheck's coming from. God's calling some of you to walk in the anointing and walk in the spirit that he has for you so you can be a difference maker. And so today, I'm just challenging us that this isn't just about this message series or about this day, but this is for the whole year. And there's three directives we feel like the Lord's placed on our hearts for Christ Church of Orlando for 2020. Here's the first one. We mentioned this earlier, that we're going to go above and beyond for children. We're going to go above and beyond for children. This is scriptural. Jesus said, bring the little children to me and forbid them not. And like, bring them around me. Like, when you bring children around me, here's what he says, you're in the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm praying over our children's ministry program here at Christ Church. I'm praying that we see it bigger, and it's more than just raising a ceiling. I'm praying that we get a burden and a passion for our kids. And let me just tell you, yes, I know that we have to have a director, and having somebody to lead that is, but let me just tell you, there's still passion here in this room that could be poured into our kids. There's still things that could be done where we're, as a community, pouring into our kids and encouraging them. And let me just say, we're going to do everything that we can to get the staffing here that we need. We're going to do everything that we can to have great facilities. But our vision is that we're pouring into our children. Let me just say to you clearly, if you think the public school, and I know we have great teachers here, God bless you if you're teaching in the, God bless you if you're teaching in the public school. But let me just tell you, they don't have God's vision for your child. I'll tell you right now, the softball team that your kids belong to, God bless them, it's okay, I'm not knocking that, but let me just tell you, they don't have God's vision for your child. I will tell you this, one thing that we have is we have a hope and a plan, and we have a belief that God has a future for your child, and we want to help them get to that place. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next few weeks. So we're going to focus on children. The second thing we're going to focus on and believe God for above and beyond is outreach. That there are people outside of this church that we're supposed to be in contact with. That there are people outside here that need to know God. That this cannot be just about us and us being comfortable. That this just cannot be about us and us singing our favorite songs. And like, I don't know how we rest as long as there's anyone in the city of Orlando that's going to go to hell. I don't know how we not do everything that we can to reach every person that we can. This is the compulsion of God. He said that we should pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Send forth laborers into the harvest. He was like, there's a place in the scripture where he says, like, go out and find them and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And who's it going to be filled with? It's going to be filled with those that don't know him yet. Listen, it's not about our song, and it's not about our favorite stuff, and it's not about people who just look like us. On the day of Pentecost, it was a global movement. There were people from all parts of the world. They didn't look like each other. They didn't even have the same language. They didn't have the same customs, but yet they were the people that God was calling to salvation. And outside of these walls, there's people that don't look like you, and they don't talk like you, and they don't think like you, and yet it's the call of God on our church for us to go out and find them and bring them in so they might know God. Amen. It's God's heart. And we're going to do everything that we can, and we're going to find ways to do that. And Some of it might be through the, like we've done outreach, street outreaches. Some of you were here with us 10, 12, 14 years ago when we used to go down into Paramore and pack up literally trailers, trucks of clothes and food and go down and preach and sing, and people gave their life to the Lord. We're not going to just do this once, and I love We Care, and we do it in May, and we go out to other organizations, but we're working on outreach projects, places for us to get out of this building and let this community know that the manifold wisdom and the power of God and the vision of God is being made known into their lives today. We're going to get outside of this church. And then here's the last one. Are you ready? We're praying that the Lord will go above and beyond in community here. That he's called us to be a body. He's called us to love one another and care for one another. Here's what he says, and these are the words of Jesus in John the 17th chapter. I pray that they would be one. That they would be one. Just as you and I are one. That the people that sit on this side of the room are one with the people that sit on that side of the room. That we're one, that we work as one, that we work in unity, that we protect the unity of our church, that we're not about biting on one another and talking about one another and putting one another down and even prayer requesting one another. Y'all pray for them. You know what's going on in their life. But instead, honestly, like we have a heart of compassion for each other, and that we see vision for each other's lives. And that when somebody's hurt, that we stop and pick them up. When somebody fails, listen, I've said this for many years and you know this. There's no better place. If somebody falls and they fail God and they fail themselves, where better to do it than among the people of God? So I want us to be in unity. I want us to be in unity about seeing the power of God and the Spirit of God working in this place. I want us to be in unity concerning caring for one another and loving one another and worshiping God, and not just about our style and our preference and the things that we want. And they didn't sing my hymn out of the hymn book today. That I want us to be a place where it goes way and beyond all of those things, that we see vision that God has for our lives, and that we're the glory Church of God working in this earth in the name of Christ. Amen. So here's the deal about that is here's how we're going to do this. Like, I feel like in order for us to do something significant for God, it's going to have to be something significant on our part too. So we're launching into 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I know that we've done this before. There are some things that we're going to do very different in this. Feel like we're being directed by God. There's 21 days of prayer that's going to come. We're asking you to pray every day. The staff has been praying together every day for the last month or so. And like we meet together, like if it's just in a hallway, like let's pray. And we're praying together. We're seeking the Lord. And so I'm asking you to start to begin to pray with us. And then we're also going to meet on Wednesday nights. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to be here in this room. We're going to pray. I know some of you, Wednesday nights is a hard day. You have to drive I-4, you know. Will you make the effort and come and pray with us? Because I think the prayer will unify us and give us hope and help, and the Spirit will pour inside of us. Some nights we might have worship and some nights we might not, but we're going to pray and seek the Lord. And then the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to fast. We're gonna ask the Lord that he would be bigger in our lives and that we would be smaller. And literally that our appetite would be for him. The Bible says, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be filled. I'm really desperate to see God move at Christ Church. I'm really desperate to see God move in my life. And I have to tell you, it's going to take a sacrifice. We're not going to be able to do what we've been doing and go in the direction that we've been going and just continue to do some of the stuff and just think that it's going to bring a different outcome. We're going to have to seek the Lord. And I'm asking you, in order for us to be the church that goes above and beyond and sees the promises of God in our life, will you go above and beyond with us? And will you fast and pray for these next 21 days? There's a place on the website that you can go to, and it can give some instruction. If you want to go ahead and put that up, it's christchurchorl.org/fasting. There's some instructions. You could fast one day. You could fast a meal. You might fast a food that you really love. Maybe you're going to fast soda. Maybe you're going to fast desserts. Some of us really need, like after Christmas, we need to really fast desserts, you know. But there's multiple ways, and there's ways. Previously, we've had you sign up on a calendar and say, I'm going to fast every Tuesday, or I'm going to fast a meal. We're going to leave this between you and God. I think there is a place out here where you can sign your name and say, I'm committing. I'm going to be a part of this fast. And you could sign up on that. But there's also another way, and I'm going to challenge you to take a look at a new way to fast. There's a thing out called the Daniel Fast, and we're not going to completely take on the Daniel Fast because some of that can be kind of expensive. But there are some ways for us. Daniel ate no meat. He wouldn't eat anything that brought pleasure to the king so he could fight on the king's behalf. And so Tori and Kaylin, I think, are going to do a Daniel fast-ish, is what he told me. And so they're not going to completely do that. But you can maybe get some information from him of what they're doing. And they're going to do it all 21 days, not just one day a week. They're doing all 21 days. And honestly, like the Lord's been dealing with me. There's some stuff I'm going to fast for all 21 days. And so, I know I'm not going to tell you, because then if something happens, I don't do it, you'll condemn me, and I don't want that. But I'm praying that we'll see above and beyond. I'm praying that we'll see that God has a plan for your life, a plan to restore your homes, a plan to save your children, a plan to prosper you, a plan to bring peace to hearts that are distressed. That he'll turn mourning into dancing. That he'll take the ashes of our life and he'll give us joy. I'm praying that it will be beyond what we ask or think in your life, but I'm also praying it for our church. And here's the last thing I'm going to say, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the days ahead. We're praying that this year, Christ Church will see a 20% increase in attendance. Like, just that simple. I'm going to say, I've been in church my whole life. This is the greatest church I've ever been in. And honestly, like, you guys love and you care, and your heart, I know, is to reach this community for God. And so I do believe that there are things that have been working against us. But listen, we will not be deterred. We will not allow what's taking place in any given moment to keep us from accomplishing the vision that God has for our lives. So I'm asking you that you'll join with me, and then in this year, we'll work together in unity, and we're going to see God bring a harvest. And let me just tell you, 20%, like, we can start to look at those numbers and you might go, like, that's really a lot. But when you think about, there's 2.7 million people in Orlando, and they say that only about 400,000 of them are actively involved in their faith. Increasing by 75 or even 100, that's nothing. That's not, like, can we get big vision? Can we really get big vision and see what God has for us, that there's a harvest outside of our church that we're supposed to reach? I'm hoping that you'll pray with me about that. In these next few moments, I'm gonna pray together, and then we're gonna just sing and allow the Lord to fill us. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul that have been handed down to us, that give us hope that you want to do something exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And so, Lord, let the word of faith and the word of hope be planted into our lives, that you're going to move in our homes, that you're going to move in our finances, that you're going to move with our children on our jobs, that you're going to move in this community, that you're going to move and do something exceptional in the United States of America, and you're going to do something in this church that will be world-changing. I'm praying, dear Lord, for that for each of us. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you, dear Lord, that this would be a world-changing day for them, that they'd say yes and surrender to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give you the opportunity to just say yes to God's plan for your life. If you've never accepted Him, or maybe you've been away from Him for a long time, will you say yes to Him in a simple prayer today and allow Him to come in and fill you? Will you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son. And I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, save me from my sin and save me from myself. Come into my heart. I receive you as Savior. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. That's all it takes right there. Like, lives are changing. It's above and beyond what you could think. Like, it's not some kind of penitence. It's not some beating yourself up. It's just that simple. Like, He can do it just that fast. Somebody here, your life just changed. And if you just said yes to Jesus, I just want to pray for you in the days ahead. And so if you just said yes to Jesus and came back to Him, or this is the first time, could I see your hand right now so I could pray for you in the days ahead? Yes. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes, yes, yes. I see it. The Lord sees it. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you just raised your hand, there's a card in the seat in front of you that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Please pick that card up and turn it in at the Starting Point kiosk or to myself today. We want to help you get started on your journey. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Will you let them know they've made the best decision of their life? Amen.